You know, we had Christmas and we had New Year's that just happened, and maybe we spent time with family. And if you haven't been around family in a while and you spend time with again, you notice different things about them. They notice different things about you, in right? But God notices some things too. Look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. My father-in-law noticed that I was impatient. He said, "You really have no patience, do you?" I'm like, what are you trying to say? Hurry up, get it out. And it's working with him. And he kept saying, "Remember, slow is fast. Slow is fast." And then I got home and he sent me, we were making some cabinets for him in his bathroom. And we were making some cabinets there. And he sent me one of the jigs that we use to make cabinets because I really liked it and he wanted me to have one. So he sent me one on Amazon and it says, "Remember, slow is fast. Merry Christmas," right? So he noticed that, right? But look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. "And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop, and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus." And look at verse 20. "And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." When he saw their faith, that's what he noticed. And you know what the Lord notices? Your faith. Now, here's a way to think about that. We had a year go by, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but we had a year go by, and now we're in 2019. Okay? Where is your faith now compared to where it was in 2019? Has it grown? Because God is looking for faith. And you know what? I find that it can be very difficult to find out and gauge where your faith is and where it needs to grow. And so what we're going to do is we're going to define faith a little bit more, and so we can understand what it is and how to recognize where we need more faith. Because there's so many times people come to you and they say, "You need more faith." You're like, "Yes, I need more faith." But then if you ask them, "Where do you need more faith? In what area of your life do you need more faith? And how can you recognize the fact that you need more faith there?" They wouldn't be able to answer you. So look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. And what I want to do hopefully tonight is to teach you to be able to recognize the areas of your life where you need more faith and what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but we don't even know what that means. I mean, I can even give you the answer to what that is and preach about it and read a million commentaries on it and like, okay, I still don't know what it is, right? So look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, okay? We love the Lord. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So here's the thought. Where I am fearful is where I need to grow in my faith. Where I am fearful is where I need to grow in my faith. We're going to look at situations in the Bible in a minute where the Lord pointing out faith and faithlessness, but look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. This is faith. Hebrews 13 and verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Okay, so what am I looking for? One way that I can always recognize where I need more faith is where I have fear. Right? Because there is no fear in love, and perfect love casteth out fear. And we should boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Okay, now here's the thing. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. And this is the great chapter about faith, okay? And so here's what we struggle with a lot of times is fear is bad, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Fear is bad, but we should have a godly fear. So how do you reconcile those things? Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has torment, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, that's what God noticed. He saw their faith. That's what he's looking for us. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So he had faith, and because he believed God, he believed what God said was going to happen, was going to happen. So he acted on that faith. He moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, you don't have to turn there, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 14. Philippians 1 and verse 14. Philippians 1 and 14, and we'll go back to Hebrews in a second. It says, Paul is speaking here, and he says, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, isn't that interesting? What is his bonds? That means he went to prison for preaching, right? And when the brethren saw that he went to prison for preaching, they were able to get bold and speak the word of God without fear. That would be like Brother Phil going down to the car wash to wash his vehicle for the 977th time. And he sees someone there witnessing to him, and he gets punched in the face. They're like, how dare you talk to me about that? And he comes in and he says, I was witnessing to someone and they punched me in the face. And everyone's like, wow, if he can do that, I can do it too. And then they go out and witness. That is so... How did this bad thing happen to him? And then they got more confident and got less fear and were bold to speak. You know why? They faced their fear and they saw that this worst thing that they were thinking about that could happen to him wasn't really that bad. And they put more faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they did what he wanted to do. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:28, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Okay? Okay, so what is it? Let's talk about what the fear of the Lord is and what that good fear is, and then getting rid of the bad fear. So we're replacing faith with fear. I hope I'm not being too confusing. We'll bring all this together in a little while, okay? But you over the reverence and godly fear, okay? So how you overcome your fear of the lesser is by fear of the greater. Right? Here's a horrible illustration, but it will help you hopefully understand. So God sees faith, faith versus fear, right? And here's the horrible illustration. Sorry. Okay. So the horrible illustration is this. Okay, we fear fire. Is that true? And we also fear gravity. Is that also true? Okay. Now this is a true story, and it's a terrible thing that happened, but whenever the planes crash into the World Trade Centers, right? You know what you can see if you watch the news footage? You can see people jumping from very, very, very high and dying, jumping to their death, right? Did they fear gravity? Did they also fear fire? You know how they overcame their fear of gravity? Because the fear of fire was greater, right? Some people didn't jump. And you know why they didn't jump? Their fear of gravity was greater than the fear of burning in the fire, right? So we serve God with reverence and godly fear. That's what we want to do. We want to revere the Lord, and we serve Him with reverence and godly fear. And so here's how you do that. Godly fear is this. God has the answer to my problem. However, when I go before Him, I need to not mess around because He means business. In the Old Testament, the priest knew that God was the only way that could put their sin away. God was the only one that could put their sin away. Is that true? And so they went before Him. But what would happen if they didn't go before Him right? They would die. Is that true? So they revered Him. They knew He had the answer, but they also knew that He meant business. Now, there were a couple people in the Old Testament that they served God, Hophni and Phinehas. They were priests and they served before the ark, but they did not fear the Lord. And they didn't know that He meant business. And so when they went before God, they weren't careful. There was Nadab and Abihu. They went and offered strange fire before the Lord. They were doing it by form. They knew that God had the answer, but they did not know that He meant business. They didn't act upon the fact that He meant business. So look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 24. He means business. You have to understand that God means business. Luke chapter 12 and verse 4. He's here to help. I can come boldly before the throne of grace, and I can find help. But I need to also fear the Lord and know that if I come before Him with sin, and I'm not looking to get it right, I'm just looking for Him to help me with my need, that's not good. That's not going to turn out well for me. Now, Luke chapter 12 and verse 4, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do." So how do you overcome that fear of people killing you? "But I will for whom warn you, whom you shall fear. Fear Him which after He hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear Him." Okay, now how do we balance that out? "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Wait, he just said, don't fear man, fear God, but don't fear God. Did you see that? Don't fear man, they can't do anything. Fear God, He has the power to hold you accountable and cast you into hell. But don't fear Him because He cares about you. So what is reverence and godly fear? God has the answers. He means business. He will hold me accountable, but He also loves me and cares about me. That's the balance and how it's balanced out. What are some illustrations of that? Ananias, Acts chapter 5. He loved God. So you know what he did? He also loved the church and the brethren. So he had a bunch of property, and he went and he sold it. Okay? And he got all this money, and he says, I'm going to give an extremely large gift to God, and I'm going to give this property, the sale of it, to God, but I'm going to keep a little bit back for me. Was that wrong? No. There was nothing wrong with that. But he said, here, I sold the land, and I want to give it all to God. He said, how much did you sell the land for? I sold it for this much. And he lied. Right? Because he didn't have the fear of the Lord. He knew God was good, he loved him, and wanted to give a gift to him, but he didn't mean business. And you know what Christians do all the time? Hey, pray for me, I have a need. I have problems with the people that work for me. I have problems with my finances. I have problems in my marriage. Pray for me, I need help. But the whole while, they have a sin that they're harboring in their heart. They have things that God wants them to get right that they refuse to get right. And they keep bringing it before God. You know what that is? That's not godly fear. That's not reverence. That's not thinking that God means business. The fear of the Lord is God loves me, but He will also hold me accountable. God loves me, and also, if you know what happens when you are not doing what God told you to do and what God wants you to do, and you're living a lifestyle other than what God told you? You're exhibiting a lack of faith because you do not believe what God says for your life is best. It's a lack of faith. You're exhibiting a lack of faith because you do not believe God is going to hold you accountable to the extent that your sin will not benefit you more than it hurts you. Is that correct? That is a lack of faith, and God sees that. And you know what He's looking for you in your life? Faith. And you know how you understand it? Faith versus fear. What do I fear the most? Do I fear God the most? Or do I fear this other thing the most? Look at Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. Here's an example of a man that did not fear God. It's an example of what I was talking about. The Christian that is not doing right and still keeps bringing his needs before the altar. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And it came, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto God, the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? Now look at this. Here's the key. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You know what happened? You know, a lot of preachers say this, that God didn't accept Cain's offering because it was turnip greens. And God's not a vegetarian. And while I appreciate that, I don't believe that's the reason God didn't accept it. And no matter what you do for work, you know what you do? You bring to God the fruit of your labor. And you know what the fruit of his labor was? Vegetables. And you know what the fruit of Abel's labor was? It was the flock. Why didn't God accept it? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, what? Sin lieth at the door. You know why God didn't accept his offering? He had sin in his heart. He was wroth. See, there's two primary modes of operation. Anger and fear, right? And you know what Cain was operating with? Anger. You know what the end of anger is? Murder. You know what he did? He killed his brother. He brought the offering to God, but he brought it with sin in his heart. Why? He didn't fear God. When God told him the problem, did he get right with God? No, because he did not fear God, and he didn't have faith that God was held him accountable, so he went and killed his brother. Right? All right. So, do you fear God? Fear and faith go hand in hand. You know, the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25. Look at Proverbs 29 and verse 25. Who you fear the most is who you obey. Okay? God saw their faith. What is he looking for in my life? He's looking for faith. Right? How do you recognize where you need faith? Where you have fear. Okay? You serve who you fear the most. If you fear the Lord, then you serve him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you fear something else, then you serve that. You overcome the fear of the lesser by the fear of the greater. Look at this. Here's the illustration. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. There's the fear. Now here's the faith. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made safe. Fear, faith. Fear, faith. Right? Who do you fear the most? God or your wife? Okay? Who do you fear the most? God or your wife? I think our family should be doing this. Okay, go home and tell your wife that your family should be doing that. I'm not advocating being mean. I'm not. I'm advocating being honest and being a leader and doing the thing that God wants you to do as a husband. Honey, I love you, and I think God wants me to do this and our family to do this. What do you think about that? Why will you not do that? Well, I don't like, you know, I just like peace, and I just like, you know, I don't like controversial things. And no, that's what you call it. You know what the answer is? You're afraid, and God wants you to have faith. Who do you fear the most? Grandma or God? Is grandma saved? No. Have you given grandma the gospel? No. Why not? Well, you know, it's just really hard to witness a family, and grandma might get mad, and you know, I think she's a werewolf in her past life, and I just, you don't know my grandma. No, you're scared, right? And here's what I want you to do. I want you this week to start recognizing where you're fearful. What does God want me to do? Okay. He wants me to do this. That's pretty plain. Are you doing it? No. Why not? Fear. And you know what God wants to see? That replaced by faith. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. What does God want you to do? The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made safe. Do it with prayer. Now, here's incredible illustration about this, and then we'll move on. Look at Judges chapter 7 and verse 1. Judges 7 and verse 1. Who do you fear the most? God or your flesh? Your addictions and what your body wants? God or your need? Judges chapter 7 and verse 1. Reading this passage in this context blew me away. Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of Menahem were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people, how many? 22,000. And there remained how many? Most people live in fear. Most people, 2/3. Isn't that crazy? You know what God says? If you're afraid, go home. I can't use you. Now, let's continue and let's look at this. See, some people live in fear and some people live in ignorance. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man to his own, unto his place. Now here's the difference, okay? You're fearful, you're afraid, go home. I'm not going to use you because you're fearful in this area. And you can't please God without faith. Now here's the other group of people that's like me. I ain't scared. There's nothing to be scared of. Who are those stupid Midianites? We got them. Ah! You want some water? Yeah. Hey man, look, you're in a battle. Why are you doing that? There's a danger out there. I'm not scared. No, you're just an idiot. You're operating in the flesh. You're having confidence in the flesh, right? You know who God used? Are you scared? No. No. I have my faith in God. Why are you looking around? Because the horse is prepared against the day of battle. Safety's of the Lord, but the horse, I still have to prepare. I still have to watch. I still have to watch out. I still have to look. I still have to be aware of the danger. I have to be aware of the battle. I have to be aware of what's going on. I have to be aware of the pitfalls. I have to be aware where it's easy to fall and die. My faith is in God, but I'm also aware of the things that are going on. Now, can I say this? We've all been in the first group. Every one of us has been in the first group where we know what God wants us to do, but we run. Right? And whether we run because we're angry like Jonah or we run because we're fearful like these people, we still run. We just get out of there. Then we've been in the other group that we did not see the danger and we were not spiritually minded and we were just operating in the flesh. But whatever group we're in, God wants us to move to the third group. What does that mean? When you obey God, pray about it, put your faith in God, don't put your confidence in the flesh, beware of the implications, pray about them, and try to mitigate them as much as possible. What group are you in? So what are we supposed to do this week? Recognize where you're fearful. God saw their faith. And you know what He's looking for in you and me? He's looking for our faith to increase. Right? He's looking for us to grow. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. If you witness to someone just because you're not afraid, that doesn't please God. It pleases God when you're depending on Him for His power to get you through. Right? So, I said all that to say this. What are practical ways that we can show God our faith? He's looking for faith, right? And then last week we talked about this. Faith for provision. So now what we're looking at is we're looking at the areas where the Lord, when He was on earth, He saw people's faith or their lack of faith and He pointed them out. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, He's like, "Oh, you of little faith, why can't you trust me for your needs?" In a practical way to show God that we have faith in Him is to say this, "Lord, I trust you. I know there's a need, and I trust you. I'm going to trust you by not going into debt. I'm going to trust you by tithing. I'm going to trust you by investing," or whatever that He wants you to do. "God, I know that you are the one caring for me." What's another way? Faith for protection. Look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Joe, I don't want to go too far. I want you to recognize where you're fearful, and I want you to replace that by faith. And I'm showing you practical ways to show God your faith where people are a lot of times fearful. Finances for protection. And in this passage, Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, "The same day when even was come, He said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." The ship is full of water, and the waves are coming over. And what happens when a ship gets full of water? It sinks. "And there arose," in verse 38, "and He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow." This is Jesus. "And they awake Him and said unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no" what? Faith versus fear. You see that? Fear should be replaced by faith. What are you talking about? The boat is sinking. The water's coming in. Yes, it might sink, but God's in the boat with me. Yes, I might die, but the Lord's in the boat with me. I trust God. I don't have this sudden fear because I trust God. Maybe the boat sinks, but the Lord's in it with me. Nothing's going to happen to Jesus. Fear not, I'll be with you. Right? How is it that you have no faith? And then they feared exceedingly. They feared something greater. They feared God. You replaced your fear of the lesser by fear of the greater. And they said to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They were in a dangerous situation. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a dangerous situation? Brother Zamora was giving his testimony. And he was at the ATM. He was broke and just getting out enough money for donuts or tacos or something to do with food for his family. And the people come in and point a gun to his head, give me the money, and he reaches down and hits cancel. It says, now what are you going to do about it? That's a blessing. Right? I mean, but we've all been in situations that we could have died or something bad could have happened. We've been in the doctor's office, right? And all this stuff happens. Do you have faith in God? How can we show God our faith? He saw their faith for our provision, for our protection. Listen, I'm not going to fear what man's going to do unto me. I'm not going to fear what the doctor says or what might happen because of my health. I'm not going to fear because of this ship is going down. Look, the Lord has this. I trust Him. I fear Him. So I'm not going to fear these other things. How can we trust Him? How can faith for our family? Matthew 15, in verse 28. And He said unto her, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know what my biggest fear as a father is? How my children will turn out. I don't know. That's my biggest fear as a father. Right? All I can do, there's nothing I can ensure that they'll walk for God. There's nothing I can do it to ensure that they won't become criminals, that they won't do horrible things, that they won't end up under a bridge addicted to drugs, that they won't commit horrendous acts of violence. There's nothing I can do to make sure absolutely that that doesn't happen. I can guide them. I can do what God says as a parent. But you know what they have? They have their own will. They have to make a decision on their own to serve God. And I can't force that. And you know what it does? I have to say, God, I put my faith in You. I can't do this, but Lord, you know? And then what happens when they're away? You know when your kids are away from God and you can tell? You can't bring them back. You can't. What happens when you have a husband that's not doing the right thing, or a wife that's not doing the right thing, or a lost family member? Listen, you have to put your faith in God. You can't bring about the change. You cannot. You can do what God asked you to do, but you have to put your faith in God for those things. How can we exhibit faith in God? Lord, here's my child Samuel. He's Yours as long as You live. Lord, I'm going to trust You with him. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to give that to You. And all that fear and that anxiety, I'm going to give that to You. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to do the right thing, but I am going to trust You for their salvation, for them getting right, for them coming to the Lord, for their health, for their sickness. I'm not going to carry that burden. I'm going to give it to You, Lord. You know what we can have? We're almost done. Two more things real quick. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. We can have faith. We can show God faith. In this way, Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's where you should have faith. Don't faint. Don't be fearful. Pray. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. He didn't care about anyone but himself. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. You have to arrest him. You have to hold him accountable. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said with himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust just saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry night and day unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? You know what we can trust God for? Faith for justice. You know what a lot of people do? They walk around angry. They're a victim. That's just not right what happened to me. It's just not right how I grew up. This just wasn't right. Look at what happened. Look what happened to me when I was a child. No child should ever have to go through this. No. But can you put your faith in God that justice will be done and give it to God? You know, some Christians walk around upset all the time, and I think part of it is because they listen to talk radio all the time. You know? But they're just mad all the time. You know? Forget about the wall. Put a wall around your house. Wall of prayer. But they're just angry all the time. Right? You know why they're angry? They say because of the injustice in the world. Look, don't you think God sees that? Don't you think God sees when people do you wrong? Listen, God is going to hold people accountable. And you have to put your faith in God and leave that to Him and just do what you need to do. And then lastly, we can have faith for prayer. He said this in Luke 18:1, to this men that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know how we can show God our faith? By praying. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for thee. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a sea, wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Jesus answering said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, and it shall be done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You ever heard the illustration about the man that gets to heaven and he says, Lord, why didn't you do this? And he said, you never asked. And I don't find a situation like this in the Bible, but the preacher preaching on prayer, he brings the guy over and he says, he looks over the walls of heaven and he shows him what his life could have been like if he prayed. Right? If you could do anything for God and not fail, what would you do? Right? What are you talking about? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And you know what God did? He saw their faith. They were more scared of the Lord than they were of the homeowner, and they ripped up the tile roof and let him down. They wanted to get to God more than any consequences. And He saw their faith. Okay? So this week, every time you think about something that God wants you to do, and you say, I'm not going to do that. I can't tell you how many times I've sat people down and said, what does God want you to do? Well, He wants me to do this. Okay. Go do it. Well, it's not that. It is that easy. If you have faith. Hopefully this will help you. It's helped me so much. it's helped me so much to recognize where my faith needs to grow and to stop calling my fear by other names and just replace it by faith. And it's helped me understand the fear of the Lord, and I trust it will help you. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for giving us a Bible that helps us understand the human spirit, helps us understand these things, Lord, and helps us how to understand the problems and how to grow through them, Father. And I pray that tonight, no matter what our need is, and whatever our prayer is, Lord, our problem is, our fear is, Lord, we can replace those things with faith in you, and we can show you our faith and please you, Lord, by trusting in you and believing in you, believing that your way is best, believing that you will hold us accountable, and fearing you more than anything else. And overcoming the fear of the lesser by the fear of the greater, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. We love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.